everybody. We are so excited to be back tonight at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater!
We started the show. Our first show was December 2015 at the UCB Theater East Village at Avenue A.
Back when we had hope.
Back when Trump had not quite come down the escalator.
We were like, Trump. That's hilarious.
Yeah, well, no, the primary hadn't started. He had come down the escalator.
Yeah. First of all, let's introduce ourselves. Okay. My name is Cody Lindquist.
My name is Charlie Todd. Thank you.
We are a married couple. Thank you. Oh, wow. No one clapped for that. Wow.
I guess J.D. Vance is not here.
Yeah, a lot of sociopaths in this audience.
We're a married couple. We like talking about politics. We like drinking beers with our friends. So we turned it into a podcast a very long time ago. And we haven't done this in a little while.
We haven't done this in a little while because nothing's been going on. It's right. Like blah, 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 boring, boring. And then we were like, ding, ding, ding. Guys, let's get a show together.
So we got our Joe Biden shirts out of the closet today. Covered up with some Gorilla Tape so it just says Harris because you can only get the Harris shirts on pre-order right now.
Yeah.
At so shop.joebiden.com.
But at this point,
an official shirt, that's where you go.
This is a good time to say this is also a podcast. So if you're listening to this on the podcast, we have duct tapes over our old Biden Harris shirts.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we have a show 4 weeks from tonight right here in this same theater. So come back and tell your friends. Yeah. We have Christina Greer from the FAQ NYC podcast.
Nagin Farsad from Fake the Nation and Wait, Don't Tell Me.
And we have Jason Selvig from The Good Liars, really funny political prank group.
Yeah. And who knows what's going to happen in a month. There's going to be a lot to talk about. I can tell you that for sure.
But I think now, Cody, it's probably time to meet tonight's panel. What do you
think? Ooh, let's do it!
Please welcome to the stage. He is one of the hosts of the War on Cars podcast, Doug Gordon.
She is a Democratic strategist. You know you've seen her on MSNBC and CNN, Jess McIntosh.
And please welcome, he's a writer, producer, actor from Jesus and Meryl, also the opposition with Jordan Klepper and many other things. Please welcome Justin Tyler.
Justin. I love you knew the assignment. You walked out here double fisting beer.
Two beers in, folks. It's not a joke. It's real. Glad you guys handled the Harris merch disaster going on out here. Really covered the news.
I wanted the official merch, and I went to shop.joebiden.com, which is what shows up when you Google it. And it was pre-order, but I think it's coming soon. I mean, this was like 2 days ago. But I said, guys, it was 10 days ago that Joe Biden stepped down. Yeah. How is everybody doing? How is everyone feeling?
No, it's insane. I've never seen anything like this. I've been working in politics for 20 years, and I thought I'd seen a lot of weird shit. But this is completely, completely new. It's like everybody decided that there was a chance it could get slightly better.
Yeah.
And we all lost our damn minds.
We were all like, wait. Everyone's been hiding in a closet going like, I'm voting for Biden. Sorry. Didn't mean, sorry. And then we were like, what? We can get excited again? Yay!
Love it.
This is going,
Justin.
This is going just as we predicted. I think this is textbook politics. What's to even worry about? Right?
Doug, how you
feel?
It's gonna
be fun. I feel good. I think right now we're just in this phase where time loses all meaning. 5 years ago, I think tonight was the Democratic primary debate. If you remember that.
Wow. Yeah.
So like that just feels like it was 100 years ago. Yeah. So I have no idea even what day it is tonight, but that's where I am with this. Very hopeful, but very disoriented.
I bought the website White Dudes for Kamala like 3 months ago, and it's really paying off.
You were able to
start. It's really paying off.
So Doug, I actually think I heard about White Dudes for Harris from your Instagram. And did you log on? I logged on to the stream.
I was on. I was also
dude.
On a kind of secret WhatsApp chat. Behind it with some of the organizers.
So. Oh, well, I'm not that important.
It didn't take
of a
much
dude.
More than like 5 or 6 messages for like Gaza and Israel to come up, but you know, everything else was fine.
Do you have a secret white dude text chain?
That's, I mean, I host a podcast, everything. It's like secret white dudes all over the place.
We knew it.
Holy shit. Wow.
You heard it here first.
No, but it's great.
That was inspiring.
I honestly think that the White Dudes for Harris thing is great because we white guys need to see ourselves as a racialized group just like any other racialized group.
Yeah.
No, I mean that in all seriousness. Like, we are not special. We are just a group of people who have a set of interests.
We're not the default.
We're not the default, exactly.
Right. We shouldn't be.
Yeah, and we can lift up other people and use our privilege for good.
You need a permission structure. White guys need a permission structure to support a black woman. You need to not feel like you're the only one out there. And the media is going to tell you that you're the only one out there. So, it's weird. Creating intentionally white spaces is weird. I'm just going to say that out loud.
Yeah.
Makes me a little uncomfortable. Yeah. But the white lady call just raised $8 million and told everybody to listen to black women because they were better at activisting than we were. And I was like, well, shit, I don't have a problem with this.
I also feel like it kind of bothers me because, this election, if anything, is about women, right? It's about our rights being taken away and us being forced to give birth to children we don't want to give birth to. So it feels like, it always feels weird to me that that is a woman's issue because women have to have sex with a man to get pregnant.
That hasn't been proven. We don't have the science back on that. We're not sure about that. I know some people who are questioning that, as a matter of fact.
Right.
The White Dudes for Harris thing being, the insignia being a trucker hat with White Dudes for Harris on it, I thought was a ballsy move.
You thought it should have been golf clubs?
Well, following on the heels of White Women for Harris, I was like, it wasn't a Chardonnay glass. It wasn't the first thing you would think of. And why did you do trucker hat? I grew shocked by that.
I logged onto the live stream and pretty quickly, the dude, Jeff Bridges, was one of the first speakers. I was this is pretty good.
Yeah, that's good.
That's pretty
smart.
Luke
Skywalker, Mark Hamill was on. Yeah. Pete Buttigieg, they alternated between amazing politician and amazing actor. It was awesome. Yeah.
They were bringing their best. This was the best of the white dudes.
So I want to take the clock back just a few more weeks and talk about the Trump-Biden debate briefly. And I want to hear how everybody was feeling that night. Cody and I, we were on a road trip down to South Carolina, and we were halfway there in Virginia in a hotel, and we thought, this will be fun. We'll put the debate on and watch it with our children.
And they're 6 and 10, by the way. So as you can imagine, the 6-year-old was very excited.
But yeah, right around the time of we finally beat Medicare, we just had to turn the TV off and cry ourselves to sleep while our children refused to go to sleep.
Our 10-year-old was like, that was really bad, right? And we were like, yeah, it was.
Wow.
He goes, he looks like a skeleton, right? And I was like, yeah, he does.
Were you sort of like, cool it a little bit? We're trying to find some positivity here.
He was then called by Fox News to be a lead commentator.
Yeah, he is a white guy, our son, so it worked out.
Does everyone, I would say that the despair I felt that night lying in a hotel room bed watching this horrifying train wreck of a man who was unable to complete sentences, and frankly he hasn't been able to complete sentences in 4 or 5 years, but this was unusually bad for him. To go from there to 3 weeks later finding out that he was stepping down and we're getting Kamala, it's been quite a roller coaster ride. And I just want to say unequivocally, I am really fucking excited. And I'm so happy, and I feel more excited to about politics in our country than I have since 2008. And I don't know, maybe I'm being naive, and I know, you know, Darth Vader's still there being racist this afternoon, but I'm feeling really fucking good.
Look, we keep calling him old and weird now. It's like we finally got it. We got it. We don't have to be afraid of this person. He is awful, but he is old and he is weird and he is a loser and people don't like him. He is
100%.
The least popular candidate ever.
It's crazy that everyone's just talking so plainly about it. I don't know what it is. Maybe it is having to go through the stress you were feeling in that hotel room. To then be like, you know what? Trump is just old and weird. Leveled the hype machine.
You know what I think is interesting? I feel like the Democrats, for the first time, are all jumping on a message. The Republicans have been doing this for they've been doing this for a really long time. The Republicans will be like, oh, now we're talking about, you know, immigrants invading, and that's all they'll talk about. And now this weird thing has caught on, and it is on fire, and I love it. We're just like, yeah, but also, they're fucking weird, right? Everything they say is so weird, and I love it.
Jess, you probably know this better than me, but I feel like, as someone who's been watching politics my entire life, Republicans have always been weird. And I've always wanted the Democrats to be like, Sarah Palin is fucking weird. Karl Rove is fucking weird. These people going back decades are weird. And finally, someone is just calling it out and saying, like, yeah, checking kids' underpants before they play sports. That's fucking weird.
But you wouldn't argue that they're the weirdest now. They're not they weren't weirder before.
They're all weird now. That's the big difference.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like Mitt Romney, anybody who sits around and thinks about other people's sex lives that much, like, that's fucking weird. Yeah,
the weird was Fringe, and it has moved to the center, and now it has dominated the whole thing.
Like, Mitt Romney was boring, right? George H.W. Bush was boring. George W. Bush, for the most part, was boring, other than invading Iraq for no good reason. But, I mean, like, that was just, like,
that was
sinister and stupid more than it was weird. But yeah, I think the Speaker of the House has an app on his phone lets his son see if he's watching porn or not. That is weird.
Sends
and we should
it
say
to
it out
his
loud.
Son. It's not just, it lets him see it. They are in a buddy pack together where they will talk to each other about their porn usage and then tell the public that they're doing this.
But isn't that, devil's advocate, isn't that training them for mutually assured destruction? Like, it's sort of like great brinksmanship training for dealing with...
It's how nuclear warfare works, is what we're
exactly.
Saying,
yeah. Like, you don't want
to... I do not consent to you sharing porn app with our children. Just putting that out there.
Way to get that on the record on this
podcast. I'm going to do a hard no on that one.
Good to know where the boundaries are. Justin, you've been to a lot of Trump rallies. I know you've been working on a project.
I have.
What's the most recent one you've been to? Also, the other thing that's happened last month is Trump got shot at.
Yes. I was supposed to be there, and I was on vacation, so I didn't go to that one. That's it.
You're saying it could have been
hooray,
your ear.
Hooray,
it was almost your ear?
Yeah.
You're saying you did not shoot Trump.
I was not there on the record, so I couldn't have
shot. I've never been to a Trump rally. What is a Trump rally like in the summer of 2024?
Well, I will say I've been going to them for all of this year, basically, and... They, up until the most recent one, are a fucking nonstop party. Everyone there is, and I'm mostly out in the exterior. They are having an absolute blast, especially as he kept winning in the polls. You would talk to them a little bit, and I was not talking to them about politics. I was just talking to them. And they were very, normal people. If any scrap of politics came up, they would be like, well, and then they would start that, like, direct party line. Like, the messaging is crazy amongst all of them. Everyone has this, and it's pure. They all know it. They are all nodding with each other. Strangers are, hugging. It's a party. And then I was at one just last week, and everyone is nervous for multiple reasons. One, the assassination, now they're looking at everyone like, are you going to try this here? Are you going to try this here? So everyone's on edge. Also, Vance... not hitting with the regular Trump folks. I feel like there was no Vance hype. He wasn't at this one I was at, I don't think, but no one is talking about him at all and is sort of down on him.
Yeah, let's talk about J.D. Vance. I am from Ohio, so he and I are of the same people.
Wow.
And everyone that I know in Ohio is like, he's not from Appalachia. He's from Cincinnati, y'all, okay? He's between Dayton and Cincinnati, and he's... Now, I understand his history and all that, but definitely, he's...
He took golf lessons.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's nothing wrong with golf.
No, but it...
White guys for Trump
doesn't
love
suggest
golf.
The hard-scrabble Appalachian upbringing.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, what does everyone think about Vance? Do you think it was a mistake, Doug, that he chose him?
I think it's symptomatic of this weirdness of a political party that is so up in its own media ecosystem that they don't understand how things land with regular people. And like the IVF stuff with J.D. Vance, the single cat ladies stuff, that's great if you're on Tucker Carlson only speaking to Tucker Carlson viewers, but that they just don't understand that there exists a world outside of themselves. And I think that's the J.D. Vance pick. He's the Peter Thiel, Fox News, conservative media pick, and that's it.
Also, he's the, like, we're winning pick. He's like, we got this. Let's get some, the next guy up here.
The other thing that's so great about the last month is that Joe stepped down after their convention.
Trump's just so mad about it.
Like, they spent a week talking about Biden and old man Biden and picking J.D. Vance, and then all of a sudden it's like, nope. It's just like, what a great, Scooby-Doo, nope, it's not Joe. It's this black woman who's really funny and has a great personality and can speak in complete sentences. We got you.
Even the old man who ran the carnival on Scooby-Doo wasn't as old as Joe Biden.
That's actually what Biden's doing now when his term's up. He's going to Hollywood and he's shooting some Scooby-Doo movies.
I want him to take that presidential immunity Supreme Court ruling for a walk now. Like, he's unchained Joe Biden. Like, let's see. How weird can it get? Like, He's been a really good president. Like, I'm going to say this quietly. In the hope
I know, you did say that very quietly.
He's been really good. Like, he was my last pick, my last pick in 2020. Honestly, I worked on the Hillary campaign, and I was going to vote for Bernie over Biden. And, like, that was going to hurt, not because Bernie's great. We just carry some baggage. Biden was last. And then he got into the office, and all of a sudden, he's like, doing all this wildly liberal shit that I never thought I would see, like pharma and taking on companies like Amazon, all of that.
And were it not
stuff.
For
climate
not for,
stuff, enormous investments, and like, no matter how much he did, people just hated him more. And I was sitting there like, well, this is very odd. Like, I'm in a very odd position where now I'm like, guys, he's actually doing a great job.
Well, I think that's
why maybe we were blind to his mental acuity, or perhaps it was deliberately hidden from us. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, to me, before that debate, the State of the Union was great. He was reading from a teleprompter, but he had energy and he had ad libs and, you know, he was off
the
cuff
remarks. He got old between State of the Union and the debate.
But I remember in the 2020 primaries, I was for Elizabeth Warren. And,
thank you, Sam.
And then about six other people before Joe Biden, just like you. But I remember whenever he would talk in a debate, I would be like, this guy can't talk. Like, well, this is a joke. He can't talk. He can't finish a sentence. And then Jim Clyburn said he's the guy, and he was the guy, and he won. But without Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin, think of how good his presidency would have been.
You're entirely right. But the fact that he couldn't, like, he can't say the word abortion, like, that's a problem this year. Like, I like that he's completely reversed all of his opinions on abortion. He's a great vote now. He used to be terrible, but he listened. Like, he's the old white guy that listens. But you really need to be able to say the word right now. You really need to not do the...
That's what's so frustrating about all of this and about the debate. Debating against Trump, it's so easy, right? Like, he's such a cartoon villain. The stuff he says is so weird, and it just feels like... Why can't Joe... If he could just say a sentence, then he could get him, you know?
Yeah, to watch Biden in that debate go like, this guy over here, he's an alley cat. And then to compare that with Kamala being like, I was a prosecutor. I know people who assault women. I know people who cheat on their taxes and who commit business fraud. It's so night and day, and it's so refreshing.
I'm not going to miss his old antiquated, like...
Well, let me say, cats are a big part of our politics suddenly. Between the alley cats and the cat ladies...
Does anybody here have a cat?
Careful, you might not want to admit it.
We got a cat audience out here, and I bet you guys are mad. The cats are getting some shit lately, and it's not nice.
Jess, I have a politics question for you. So I feel like now that Kamala is the nominee, Biden is immediately referred to as a lame duck president, which I think is interesting because he has like 5 months more than that left. Can he just try to do a bunch of executive orders with no consequences? Like, is he a lame duck that can't get anything done, or can he do whatever the fuck he wants?
Well, it's both, because the answer is yes, he can do a lot, but he's still Joe Biden, and Joe Biden believes in the system of governance. Like, that is... this has been my big... Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But
this
has
been my problem
around.
With him to
begin
with.
It's
but
my side.
Look what happened. He came out just for kidding. Supreme Court reform.
That
like,
was
we
wild.
Didn't see that coming, and he can't do it because it requires Republicans, and we still have those in the legislature. But the fact that he started that conversation means President Harris, doesn't that sound nice, is going to continue it. It's going to, like, it's on another level now.
Well, I have a question about the Supreme Court. It feels, the stuff that he's saying is so obvious, right? Like, it's so basic, like 18-year term or 16-year term limits.
No bribes.
And like a moral clause. And you have, I don't know if your spouse says that they want to share a porn app with their child.
Wow,
and
this seems like an issue that you guys have to reconcile. It's really coming up.
Why is this coming up?
I think it's
really, really about you guys.
I don't know. I just feel like we should just bring that up and just mention that's not
I just want to remind people, your kids, your oldest kid is in fifth grade, so this porn sharing stuff is probably...
You should stop.
Yeah. We're just getting ahead of the conversation.
That's good. Be ahead of it.
My point is, and I do have a point, how do Republicans get away with continually being against things that are popular, that are easy, that are softballs? If you asked anybody if they're for these things, you would think that they would be like, yeah, of course.
Because the Democrats never challenged them on it.
Like gerrymandering.
There's that. But I do think the political discourse and what we love about Kamala and this release that we're all feeling is someone is getting up and saying, A, you're fucking weird. B, you've nominated a criminal. And C, like, we're going to do something about it. And so the Supreme Court stuff, I feel like a lot of people have been saying, just call out that Thomas is corrupt. Just call out that Alito is crazy. And they wouldn't do it. And finally, Biden now must feel this wave of, like, his own sense of, like, relief and release, where he can just say, yeah, we got to do something, term limits, ethics reform, et cetera.
Finally. I mean, was that a plan? Like, was Biden going to do that?
Yes, all of this was a plan.
Yeah, we talked about it. We scripted this.
But was Biden going to come out and say this stuff about the Supreme Court on July 30th, no matter what?
Hell no way. No way. I feel like that's one topic he doesn't want to talk about, even though, to your point, Cody, it's like a superhero movie plot that's like, you're going to be a judge forever. It's like, what? Why? They're so, not like.
But this was written when people died at 26. They're like, he'll get 6 good years between 20 and 26. And then he'll die like we all do.
Yeah. When no one had experience because everyone was dying too young, it was like, if you live to 40, you are in charge.
Yeah. You deserve to just have a job for life. You're 40.
But both of the points that you just made are connected in a way that I don't think we see a lot. Like, they are really into unpopular things, right? Yeah. Nobody likes their agenda.
Nobody.
Everybody likes reproductive freedom and school lunches, you know, like that kind of shit. Everybody. They know that, and so they have to rig the system. They have to have the Electoral College. They have to have gerrymandering. They have to have a Supreme Court that's in the tank so that the court will say, your law that no one likes has to stand. Like, it is actually anti-small d democratic.
And then they lie to their voters about what their priorities really
exactly.
are.
Exactly.
And they made a mistake and they wrote it down, or some of Trump's friends wrote it down in Project 2025, and that's finally biting them in the ass.
I can't believe that they did that. They didn't have a platform last time around. They were just like, we're just going to do whatever Trump says, and that was smart.
Yeah, literally, yeah. The platform 4 years ago was Make America Great Again. Yep.
But these guys, the Heritage Foundation folks, wrote all this down, and it is wild to me how much people are talking about it. It went from like 8% knowledge to like 30 in the last, even when Biden was still in the race, everyone was like, what the fuck is Project 2025? And people were reading maybe page to page 3, but it was messing everyone up to the point.
It sounds scary, right? It sounds like, you know.
Again, superhero movie stuff. Project 2025 is when everyone gets killed or whatever.
Oh,
that's
man.
Us.
So just to talk about the news of the day very briefly, and then we can move on from talking about Trump. Trump today spoke at the National Association of Black Journalists.
Now, I just want to say, Charlie and I had all these questions done, and then I was like, we gotta redo this whole show.
When was this speaking event booked, do you think?
I know that, like, I was hearing on the news last night that a lot of people were outraged that they had invited him, but I mean, I guess it's good that they invited him.
Of course, it's like a trap! He walked into a trap!
No, guys, he did, and I just want to say, I want the National Association of Black Journalists to host every debate. Yeah. Truly.
But, I mean, he came out within, like, the first 2 minutes of questions, he, talking about Kamala, he said, she was Indian all the way, then all of a sudden she made a turn, and she became a black person.
Just quick sidebar, right now Trump is speaking in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, going back to his assassination attempt state, and he has projected above him tweets that say, Kamala, first Indian American vice president. Like, he's backing this message at his rally. He's trying to win the she just turned black debate at his rally.
Wow.
So that's what's happening right now.
I mean, this is
speaking.
The man that put a Sharpie on a hurricane forecast cone. So, you know, he sticks with what he says.
Yeah. He also called Doug Emhoff, Harris's husband, a crappy Jew. So, like, here we have Donald Trump, the arbiter of who is black and who is Jewish. Like, this is not a world I want to live in at all.
Doug, how do you feel about a Doug? Ascending to the
This has been
first
an awesome
status.
Fucking week for me.
Wow.
I bet.
A Jewish guy named Doug who just wants to take it directly to Republicans. Like, I love it. I just want a big shirt that just says, like, Doug Emhoff on it.
I'm really following him on Instagram. I'm kind of obsessed.
I'm organizing the Dougs for Harris call tonight.
Seriously, he's all the Dougs are for Harris. They must be. But I love the fact that he's just like, I was a high-powered attorney, and I was just like, nah, man, I'm going to follow my wife around.
No, he's
I love
like
it.
The,
I'm going to support her. I'm going to talk about her every day.
He's the ultimate wife guy in such a good way.
Yes. Yeah.
And his ex-wife likes him and likes Kamala.
Okay. Now, I am sorry, but this is literally like, give her the Middle East. Let her deal with this shit. The ex-wife of her husband is her biggest fucking
fan. Called her a co-parent. co-parent.
Yeah, called her a co-parent.
Been a third co-parent.
And I am sorry, but that is some amazing shit. She should be in charge of everything
also,
forever.
Doug chooses as well, I guess. Like, yep. Doug's a good picker.
Let me ask you, Doug, who was the last big Doug before this Doug? Yeah. Present company excluded.
The animated Doug from the television
series. Yes, that's what I thought. Doug. I knew it was going to be that Doug.
And Dougie Doug. That's it. That's all you've got. I mean,
and that's
my
two
hope,
Doug. Dougie Doug had two
aside
Doug.
Aside from defeating fascism, my hope is that the name Doug makes a comeback, because I don't know that many more Dougs. So hopefully this will inspire white people to name their children
that's
Doug
true.
Again.
That's true. There are a lot of
name
white...
your kids Doug again. Smart. That's
my
good.
Slogan for the way for Dougs
I,
for
I, I
Harris.
I know no
yeah.
young Dougs. No Dougs under the age of...
No, no,
no
one would do
Dougs.
That to a kid
nope.
these days.
Nope.
Wow.
All right, it's time for me to pivot to my favorite topic, congestion pricing.
Nice, great.
You guys thought this was going to be about national politics. Oh, no, no,
no. We've been talking about congestion pricing on this show since 2017, whenever.
Our two favorite topics. We always talk about national political stuff, but we love to talk about congestion pricing or cycling, that sort of stuff, and also
cycling.
Chocolate milk. That one has always come up a lot.
There's no chocolate milk news. This
who are the
we'll
congestion
time,
pricing
guys.
Heads in the crowd tonight?
Well, I have a question for the audience. Who here drove to this show in a personal vehicle and parked their car to get to this show? Your bike. Well, yes.
He's got a bike on his shirt. He's got a bike on his shirt. This guy's repping bikes hard.
So that's a zero. So amazingly, and Doug hosts a podcast called The War on Cars. So I want to throw to you in a second, Doug. But so incredibly, this entire audience of people all managed to get here in the middle of Manhattan in the Central Business District without driving a car. So in case you don't know, maybe you're visiting from out of town or you don't know, days before congestion pricing was implemented, which this Bloomberg had this idea, I think Mayor John Lindsay had this idea, and then finally Cuomo got it done. Randomly, and
wow.
Trump delayed it by years. It was studied for years. There was an environmental impact study that I think was 450,000 pages. I added 1,000. I don't very very
pretty close. I think it was like 400 pages.
400
yeah.
pages. Yeah, 400,000. But days before it was implemented, Governor Kathy Hochul slammed the brakes on it and put it on an indefinite pause. This is despite the fact that she strongly supported it since taking office, including publicly weeks before her announcement, and despite the fact that $500 million has already been spent on the cameras and the infrastructure. Doug, can the governor just say, we're not doing a law? This was a law that was passed by the legislator that this has to happen. And then a week before, she's just like, no, I talked to somebody in a diner. He didn't like it. It's not happening.
Yeah, does everyone know the diner story?
Her excuse was that she talked to somebody in a diner. Now, the diner she said she went to was Pershing Square, which if anyone here is a native New Yorker knows, that's next door to Grand Central Terminal, which happens to be one of the busiest mass transportation hubs
also
in the city.
Also not a diner.
It's also not a diner. So who is this person that is driving their car into Pershing Square? Just curious, why would you go to a diner across from Grand Central?
Maybe it was someone who ran their car into Pershing Square, like
that
inside.
That literally makes more sense
I agree
than trying
you.
To find a parking spot next to Pershing Square.
Yeah, the official story that Politico reported was that Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer sort of put the fear of God into Kathy Hochul and said, we've got these close House races in Long Island and some upstate, like three races basically, and we're going to lose if you go through with congestion pricing because these drivers in the burbs, they want to be able to drive for free into Manhattan. Now, I personally think not a single voter was going into the voting booth and thinking, you know, my top issues are like education, immigration, crime, climate, like a million votes later, issues later, congestion pricing. I just think she really made a political miscalculation and had it gone into effect on June 30th, nobody would be complaining right now. In fact, everybody would be saying, this is pretty awesome. Like, the skies are bluer, the air is cleaner, the city is quieter, my kids are not getting run over by some dude in a cyber truck. I think like it would have just been better. And that's actually what's happened in city after city after city that has done congestion pricing.
So London, Stockholm.
Yeah, and it's also, I mean, to bring it back to like national politics and Democrats, Obamacare, people freaked the fuck out when they proposed Obamacare. And then when Trump and the Senate tried to get rid of it, people were like, no, you can't take away our health care. The smoking ban, imagine being in here with cigarettes. Nobody would want to go back to that. I think the same thing would happen with congestion pricing.
We would have had cleaner. The thing that's been bothering me is that a lot of the talk has been, This was supposed to be $1 billion a year for the MTA. It was supporting a $15 billion bond for the MTA, for the Second Avenue subway, for the Interborough Express, and all of these big projects, and also just basic things like fixing our subway and better signal improvements, and also very important things like adding elevators to our subways and making them more accessible. But the talk has been like, well, where's she going to find this money? And it's very focused. Kathy Hochul yesterday was like, I found $54 million that's going to go towards the Second Avenue subway.
Wouldn't it be great?
There's a lot of money out there.
I've been looking. I've never found $54 million, unfortunately.
But the thing that bothers me is that's the focus. Like, well, what we need to fix now is the money for the MTA, which is part of the point. But the other part of the point was to not have cars fucking everywhere, right? And to have cleaner air, and to have safer streets, and to have quieter streets, and just to have a more pleasant environment for us to raise our children and to people to live, and for tourists to come to our city as they do by plane and subway and air train and bus and not private cars.
I love traveling by air train. It's the best. You just get on and everyone's confused and lost and stressed. They're like, this thing's so fucking slow.
It's bad.
I paid how much for this shit?
Yeah. Maybe we could just stop any like cars with license plates from other states to come in.
That would be
like
fun.
Connecticut?
But in fact, there's...
But then the NYPD would not be able to get to work, basically, because they're all registered
so
out of
sad.
State.
Yeah.
If you go walk around the side streets of Chelsea and Hell's Kitchen in our neighborhood and you look at who's doing alternate side parking and parking their personal vehicle for free, it's like 70% out-of-state license plates because they don't want to pay New York City insurance, so they're registering their car at their second home that they go to, you know, once a month out of state.
I will just anecdotally about Kathy Hochul. I'm from upstate New York. I visit up there a lot in the summer. And coming into the 2020 election, there were so many like Trump signs, fuck Cuomo signs with Cuomo spelled in guns and stuff like that.
Wait, what?
Truly, there were many. I don't know who was printing them.
That is a good name to spell in a gun.
Let me say the fuck.
The O's are hard.
The fuck was the gun. And the Cuomo is in regular text. Okay. A lot of sharp gun-like things. That's not the point. But the point is, none of that's happening up there, except there's a lot of homemade Kathy Hochul signs that are like, stay out of my business upstate.
That's very interesting because it feels like she did this for people from upstate, for people from Jersey, I guess.
We're never going to vote for her anyway.
This is going back to the Democrat problem, which is you continue to do things in the hopes that people who hate you are going to eventually come around. They're not. The good news is we're the majority. So it is okay to actually let them go.
Yeah.
They can just float out on the ice floe.
This is a very, you know, we are obviously, at least the three of us, I don't really know what Justin and Jess think, but we're congestion pricing. Charlie and I live in Midtown Manhattan, so our children are literally breathing all the fumes for the person who drives a single-use car, you know,
single-use car?
They just throw them
right in the ocean.
Now, that's opulent. That is opulent awesome. Right there.
Guys, they're driving cars, and they're leaving them in the neighborhood, and then they light them on fire. That's
people have to start bringing their reusable cars into Manhattan.
Yeah. It's a city bike. It's like city bike, but you throw the bicycle away.
I heard it on Fox News. Yeah. It's true.
I do think the Cybertruck is single use. I think you can drive it for more than once. It totally explodes.
You drive it once, and you're like, this
if it rains, sucks. You're done.
It just seems like such bad government to work. This thing has been in the works for 5 years. Giant environmental impact statement. 4 million pages, I've heard.
$500 million that she flushed down the toilet.
Right.
That's what's insane, in my opinion. Like,
and
how you could think that people are going to be like, oh, she wasted all that money. Good for her.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two things. Number one, to speak to the Democrat problem, sometimes Democrats have this reputation of not doing anything. They just want to win elections, and like if they lose, it's because, oh, well. And they underestimate the degree to which people will vote for them even if they disagree a little bit with their politics, because they will see them as standing for something. So I think there's that. Getting back to Charlie's point, even if every last dollar of congestion pricing was lit on fire, and Hochul is well on her way to doing that right now, fewer cars in the city is good. Transportation is the largest contributor to carbon emissions in the country. It's a little less here in New York because actually our buildings contribute the most. But cars and personal vehicles are the biggest contributor of that.
Why don't we congestion price the buildings?
That's right.
get rid of some of them.
Well, we are. I mean,
well, they're retrofitting a lot of like, you know, boilers to be electric and all that. So we just need fewer cars in the city. Nobody has ever gone to Paris, as lots of people are doing right now, and be like, you know, it'd be great. This city would be so much better if there were just like honking and angry drivers everywhere. Like nobody ever goes to Disneyland and thinks Main Street USA would be awesome if you had to wait in line in a car.
Well, Doug, so, Paris has a mayor who installed an incredible amount of bike lanes, pedestrianized a ton of streets, and then she had a re-election campaign recently. And what happened to that mayor for a re-election campaign?
And she won, and by a lot. And Sadiq Khan in London was facing similar controversy for expanding the ultra-low emission zone. And the Conservatives made a huge deal out of this. There were people like defacing the cameras, tearing them down, and he also won.
People don't like change.
People don't like change.
And they also support the environment. What's crazy is I think, you know, New York City is like, oh, it's this liberal bastion. Everyone's liberal, but they all, you know, care about the environment. But when it comes down to someone telling them they need to curb their own personal, you know, use of whatever, that's when people start to be like, well, I still want to eat 5 cheeseburgers a day, and I still want to drive my car. And
I mean, look at the mayors that we elect. Like, yeah, it's a super liberal bastion, but it's also kind of not.
Yeah.
Yes. We're a very diverse city, which most people don't like to hear, but it's true.
I will say this is all very positive and sensible. I do have a car, and I live in Brooklyn, though. I live in Crown Heights. I think the idea, I'm for congestion pricing because the idea of driving a car into the city now is insane.
Yeah.
So
and it's better
why
for,
would
it's better, I, like the one time a year you need to drive to Manhattan, but like less congestion is better for you.
Yeah, I'm going the out of the city. I take the subway in here, but it's a nightmare to do. Well,
there have been times where I've had to take my son to medical appointments on the Upper West Side, and we have to drive through Manhattan to get there. I'm like, I would pay any amount of money to be there 10, 15 minutes faster. Absolutely.
Would you pay $15, though?
$15. I mean, think about it, too, right? Like, most of us probably took the subway here, $2.90 to get in, $2.90 to get out. $15 for a giant living room on wheels that you get to park probably for free on the street is a bargain. Total bargain.
Doug, what do you think the next thing is? Is it really just on pause? Is, like, after the election, is it coming back? What do you think she's going to do?
Well, Harris has to win for it to come back, because if Trump wins, it's gone for generations, as is the country in lots of ways. So congestion pricing
well,
will
be like congestion pricing. Yeah, who gives a shit?
Exactly.
I'm in prison.
I'll be sitting in the forced labor camp like, remember congestion pricing? And they'll just hit me with a shovel.
You're going to be in a Doug. All the Dougs are going to be rounded up.
Yeah, exactly. I know. We're going to need a lot of young Dougs at that point.
I think they're, you know, she's probably looking for a way to save face. So some of it is going to be finding this money in the couch cushions. I'm sorry, J.D. Vance just rushed in when I said that. So I think there's going to be some of that, but this push to really reduce cars, like there are two lawsuits happening right now, one on environmental grounds and one on this idea that she did violate the law. So those can take time. We'll see what happens.
We got to pivot to J.D. Vance and couches because you brought it up. I've like been seeing people mention J.D. Did you guys know this story about J.D. Vance wanting to fuck a couch?
I love people are like, yes.
You say wanted to fuck a couch.
It's not true.
No, it's
There's
not
nothing true.
True
about it. It's just someone put a tweet out that said in Hillbilly Elegy, he, on page 159, he said as a kid, he put a glove in the couch cushions and fucked the glove. But it's not in the book. It's a lie. It's a fake news. But it's really stuck.
So the reason why it blew up the way it did, and this is a rando Twitter account. This is not even like a well-followed Twitter account. It's just, one, it's a great joke, and two, he looks like the kind of guy
who does.
You
look
That's why it works.
You're like,
he's a couch.
The AP put out a story to debunk it, saying no, the headline was no, J.D. Vance did not have sex with a couch. They had to retract that because you actually can't prove it.
That's what I'm saying.
He didn't write about having sex with the couch. But they took the whole story down, and then it just exploded. And now it's over. He's the couch fucker forever.
It's like a Richard Gere gerbil thing.
Poor Richard Gere and the gerbil.
But like, I fuck J.D. Vance, but this seems really unfair.
It's hilarious.
What?
It's very funny, but it like it's just a couple, like if we're going to be mad about fake news and about Fox and about Newsmax.
You
like,
have to be the kind of person about whom that can be believed. And that is on him.
But also, Charlie, none of us actually think that he fucked the couch.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think this is good fake news because bad fake news is vaccines will kill you. And like that's those are bad fake news things
and
that actually
are
like
just the vice presidential
this is just like,
pick.
He looks like a dude maybe. Who would
well,
fuck
no.
a couch.
I want to agree with you, Doug, but the amount of couch fucking in the MAGA base that's about to erupt is going to decimate. First off, the furniture. Second off, families.
Guys, first my pillow and now couches. I think big furniture is behind this.
But I will say, yeah. Fuckable furniture is about to have a huge explosion in the market, and it's time we got on board with it. And Trump has to back. Trump, at his disastrous press conference today, when confronted with a Vance question, basically dodged it. I think there's a chance he kicks Vance off the ticket.
No.
There's a chance. He clearly doesn't like him already. If he thinks he's taking his numbers...
His kids told him to pick him, and he's like, all right, fine.
Because you're battling two things. Trump admitting he did something wrong, but he can always blame someone, which is what he would do. Or if he genuinely thinks, and it may be true that Vance is dragging him down a bit, gone.
Well,
get that couch fucker back on the couch.
Quickly, and we'll move off the vice presidential thing, but let's just lightning round. What does everyone, who do they want Kamala to pick?
Ooh.
Governor Walz. Minnesota.
Nice.
It's pretty awesome.
Which one is Walz? Is this
Walz?
Minnesota.
Oh, the guy that came up with the weird thing.
He's
amazing. I heard an interview with him.
Free school lunches in Minnesota.
How old is he?
He's only a year older than Kamala Harris.
Okay, all right.
He's like a fun Tim Kaine, I feel like.
He was a high school football coach, and he looks like a high school football coach. And all I know she's got to pick a white guy. I know that has to happen. I would love it to be Gretchen Whitmer, but it's not going to be. It's probably going to be Walz, and that would be great. Or Kelly, who's an astronaut. But the idea of a Pete Buttigieg, J.D. Vance debate...
Oh,
just sound like they could come out with their little backpacks.
Dream team debate.
You could just watch any Pete Buttigieg appearance from now on. He's savaging Vance and everything.
He's trying so hard.
It's amazing. And
Buttigieg should just be the vice president of late night television and cable news. Because just send him out to appear on Fox, to appear on MSNBC, to appear on The Daily Show, and like just rip them to shreds.
Yeah. I think Gretchen Whitmer would be amazing, and that's my number one pick. I think an Oops All Women ticket would be really just really.
The only Captain way that Crunch, Oops All Berries?
Yes.
I agree. I think Big Gretch wants to run. She's not going to do
No, I know.
She's not going to.
She doesn't want to. I think it's going to be Shapiro. The event on Tuesday where she's bringing out the VP is in Philadelphia.
Really?
I think it's Shapiro.
But yeah.
I think
it's got to
be Kelly. I'm a Kelly fan.
No, because Kelly, we lose the Senate seat.
But the governor of Arizona is a woman and a Democrat, and she will nominate somebody who's good. So that's still in there.
Okay, maybe.
But
he's an astronaut. He's a combat veteran.
His
wife is amazing.
He's very cool, but he's a little, the union thing's a little fucked up.
I love that he just switched his
He was like,
union
I actually
position.
Like
this. Never mind.
He looks like a
now.
Cop. You know,
but
his parents were cops, and he looks like a cop.
He's a space cop. Shapiro.
He's a twin, too.
Shapiro, Pennsylvania, in the most recent poll from like yesterday, Pennsylvania is the only state that she's not really rising in. I think she has to go with Shapiro.
I think it's going to be a governor. I think we're starting to hear that like they're telling donors that they need to get their money in now because there's a cutoff for a ticket that has a governor on it, and that would be Walz or Shapiro.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be Walz.
Really? Oh, man.
He's so good.
He's so fun. And Shapiro hasn't said much, and I think...
He's a little untested, and it scares me. Like, everything about this scares me.
Agree. But the Pennsylvania, if we get Pennsylvania, it's basically over. The way the polling's going in the other blue all states, like, and isn't that worth it? The security of being... Like, he's tested 60. He polls at 60% in
So we started this conversation with white guys for Kamala, and now we're ending it with white guys with Kamala. So white guys are having a moment. Shocker. Shocker, am I right? Wow, they needed another fucking moment.
Wasn't it white boy summer?
You know, I agree with
you. Dugs for Kamala over here.
But I think we shouldn't shortchange the fact that the rise from when Biden dropped out, just 10 days ago, did you say, to where we are now is unbelievable.
So
like,
great.
The fact, the low point we were all at mentally, I don't want to speak for everyone in the crowd, but white guys with me, to where we are now is unbelievable. I don't think we could have at all predicted this. It's so fucking exciting. I'm getting texts from weird cousins who are like, so what's the deal with this lady? And I'm like, holy shit, you have fireworks mostly. Uh-huh. So this is great.
I want to transition to talking about some New York City stuff and some local stuff. I want to talk about our mayor for a little bit, because there's a mayor's race that's coming up next year. And this week, Brad Lander, our comptroller, threw his hat officially in the race. But we'll talk about him in a second. But what is the deal with Mayor Adams' strategy of slashing really popular things and then maybe finding money for it later? He's like
libraries? Fuck you. You're like, yeah. Oh, cool. We all love libraries, dude. That's the thing.
Like, it just seems like it, like his, like the main big decisions that I've seen him make are like cutting libraries.
Yeah, but to be fair, he always says he's going to cut it, and then like 2 weeks later, he's like, never mind. I found some money.
That's the best way to run a city, I think.
I think you could have just stopped at what's the deal with Mayor Adams.
Do you guys think he's worse than de Blasio? Because I spent a lot of time in this podcast back in the day hating on Bill
worse.
De Blasio and driving in his SUV to the Park Slope.
I don't think anybody should look back at the de Blasio years with rose-colored glasses, but yes, he is worse than de Blasio. Yes.
But I also think, I mean, he was sort of a surprise winner of the office, and he won on being like, you guys like cops? Here comes some more. And that's what he's continued to do. So, like, I don't know. We seem to maybe misjudge the electorate here a little bit, because maybe that will work again. He's just doing what he did before more.
Yeah, anybody who was paying attention to Eric Adams before, and if you're a Safe Streets activist like we are, know that, you know, he was parking cars all over the sidewalk at Borough Hall Plaza.
But he was also like, on a bike, which de Blasio was like on a city bike one time, and he looked so ridiculous because he's 7 feet tall.
Too tall.
But
too tall,
like,
for a bike.
But Adams like did ride a bike some and said he
was
going to be the bus
mayor. He was
good
on a couple of things. Absolutely good on a couple of things, but much in the same way I'm going to get beat up in the climate change camp when I'm talking about congestion pricing. Like, you know, okay, so the bike thing, he was good on that, but he was terrible on policing, he was terrible on everything else. And, I mean, I was saying, there are probably people here in this audience who are saying, don't rank him, he's going to be terrible, vote for, you know, Maya Wiley, Catherine Garcia. Either of those ladies would have been just so phenomenal as mayor, they would have been so great. He was terrible. Anybody who was paying attention to him before knew that, and now everybody who's paying attention
to him knows that. He told us he was going to, you know, like, I'm a police ex-police officer, and I feel like the police are doing less than they've ever done. So if we wanted a state where it was like we're feeling safe and protected, I don't feel like anybody feels that way. So he ran on something and he didn't do it.
So Doug, tell us about Brad Lander, because I know you know Brad Lander. He was a Park Slope council member where you are. Does he have a chance? Are we excited about
Brad?
Well,
the question is, can a white progressive Park Slope politician get elected again as mayor? Because we just did that before Adams, yeah. And it didn't really work out as well as people might have hoped. Brad is really smart. He is super wonky. And so there is an argument to be made that we went from, you know, Swagger and Eric Adams just being like, New York City is a brand, to a guy who's like, no, governing is really hard, and we need people who want to do the hard work. Like, this is a massive city of hundreds of thousands of people who work for the government, and we need someone who's capable of managing the city. Like, I don't care about Swagger. I want my trash picked up. I want my libraries opened on Sundays. I want, you know, schools to have the funding that they need. And so I think he can make a pretty compelling argument. I don't think he would have thrown his hat in the ring against only the second black mayor in our city's history unless he thought he had a chance, unless it looked like the Southern District of New York wasn't going to hand down, like, a boatload of indictments against him. His polling is terrible, Adams' polling. So, you know, I think Brad is worth a shot. There's also Zelnar Miri, who has great politics, is really young and enthusiastic. So there's no shortage this time around, just like there was last time around, of good candidates. It's just, will we make the right choice? We'll see.
Is Eric Adams known for swagger? Is
that his thing? He says it.
Yeah. Oh, so he says it. I thought you were saying, like, that guy's cool.
No.
I was like, oh, no.
He says he's cool.
Yeah.
He's the nightlife mayor. He's bringing swagger back to New York.
That's the least cool things to say. You're cool.
Yes. Eric, all you need to know about Eric Adams is that he used to always talk about the story about how when he was a cop, he had a partner who got killed, and he kept a picture of that partner in his wallet for years and years and years and years. But then actually what he did is he had an intern, like, this is his first year in office, take a picture and, like, pour coffee on it and crumple it up so that he could show it to reporters. And then that leaked out that that's what he did. And that's all you need to know about.
All you need to know is when a story that bad leaks, that person's staff hates them.
Yeah.
And when the staff hates the candidate, hates the elect, like, they know them best. Listen to that. You have a staff willing to screw over their boss.
Yeah, but this goes back to, like, it being a different thing to be able to win an election and to run the office, right? Like, this is the problem we're having with America in general. Like, Hillary Clinton probably would have been the best, most qualified person for the job, wasn't the best at running for office.
And Tim Kaine might have been a great vice president, but he was boring,
boring
as hell.
Boring as shit. But, like, they're two separate things. Like, to be able to talk and be, like, have swagger is a different thing than being like, well, okay, we need to move this money from here. And, you know, it's like, those two are separate skills. It's rare we find someone that's able to do both. And that's, but that's America, right? Like, personality over politics, and that's how it'll be forever and ever.
It comes back to JFK being too fuckable. He ruined it.
He did. Well, and also television. Once we were able to see people,
how we knew he was so fuckable.
We saw him and Nixon on TV for the first time, and everybody wanted to fuck that guy, and he won. Yeah.
And now we all have to be fuckable.
We're blaming women again. Wow.
I didn't hear women.
Huh? I just said JFK was fuckable.
I'm pretty sure.
Another local issue I want to talk about. Cody and I have been out of town for a little while. We just got back to town a few days ago, and it seems like the illegal weed stores are finally mostly closed, which is shocking for anybody who might not know about this. Cuomo, in a panic when he was in a sexual harassment scandal, declared that weed was legal, I think in like 20...
Don't look over here. Here's weed.
It was like 2021 where he was just like, oh, we're turning a tow pound into a park, even though advocates have been asking for it for 20 years. And weed's legal now. The bureaucracy took like 4 years to figure out what legal weed was actually going to be like. Mm. And it's in this void, all these illegal weed stores sprouted up, and it's taken like 2 or 3 years to kill them. But it seems like maybe they're finally dying. Have you guys been in an illegal weed store lately? Is your neighborhood illegal weed store still open?
My son is 11 years old. We were walking around the neighborhood, and one day he looked at me and goes, Papa, you know what this neighborhood needs more of? I said, what? He goes, weed shops. And I was like, where'd you get that? But yeah, no, they're everywhere. But it's funny, I always think the weed shop thing really does speak to this idea of like how hard it is to govern and how progressives are not always... Like, look, efficient management of government is a progressive value. I really believe that, but sometimes progressives are just not good at it. So I'm not calling Cuomo a progressive by any stretch, but sometimes Democrats will be like, e-bikes are legal now, weed shops are legal now, and then, like, boom, you're run over by an e-bike as you're, like, going into a weed shop. And I just think, like, the city is really hard.
What a topical accident that would be.
The city is really hard to manage. The state is really hard to manage. We need people in power who can manage the policy goals they want to achieve for themselves.
I want to say the one upside of the illegal weed shops is that I know from a friend, if you purchase weed on, say, the black market, they've really upped their game.
Duh.
Like, they are feeling some competition there. They've got labels, they've got names, they've got branding, they've got merch. Like, it's a whole new world.
You mean outside of the illegal weed shop infrastructure?
You know, people that you would call and they would show up.
The old way of doing it.
The high maintenance way of doing it. They've really, really upped
it. It's easy to do that when you don't have to pay taxes for your product.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just think it's I mean, look, I think it's way, 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 way overdue to decriminalize marijuana, legalize marijuana. I was very excited when it happened. But it's just shocking to me that we allowed over, like 10,000, I think. Maybe I'm multiplying by 10 again, but more than 1,000 illegal weed stores all over our city that are brick-and-mortar stores not paying sales tax and selling a controlled substance. Like, you can't just open a liquor store. And the fact that, like, the cops couldn't just walk in and be like, you're shut down. Like, our local politician like sends a newsletter every month, and at the end it's like, here's a link to report illegal weed stores. Help us find these illegal weed stores.
They're regular stores.
They say we sell illegal weed here, and they have a giant mural of Mario and Luigi hitting a bomb.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
and like, it's next to our children's school.
Right. And I'm not a like parent who's like, oh my, there are some parents in our community who have expressed this of like, oh, our children have to walk by this. I don't give a fuck if my child walks by a weed store.
Wow, Charlie.
He's halfway to getting a porn app for him and your son to be on.
Clearly,
I'm just saying that.
We're learning some stuff about your parenting.
But what styles. I compare them to liquor stores. My kid has to walk by a liquor store. Like,
But the liquor store doesn't have Mario and Luigi doing a keg stand.
Correct. And that's what.
Oh, that's a great idea.
That is.
You want to move some booze? Let's get Mario and Luigi in there guzzling Rumpelmints or whatever.
This is so simple. Like, make the weed
peppermint
stores.
Peppermint schnapps.
One of the weed stores near me, they know the writing is on the wall because they put up this just like PVC vinyl thing over the windows. It says like coffee
yes.
and croissants.
Yes.
Still the same inventory inside.
There's
but yeah, it's great.
There's
I
one,
love it.
One block away from us who pretends to be a juice bar.
Yeah.
And it's not what's going on inside.
There are two I will mention in my neighborhood. There are many more, but one put all silver paneling on their windows and there's just a QR code in the window now. I'm like, sick. Though easy to find out with your phone. And then the other one is named All Gas, No Brakes, and they are open for business.
Yeah, the ones that are still in business are very much like
yes.
living large. And,
yes.
And
it just feels like make all the money you can before they shut you down. I don't know.
I mean, think about it. If you're like, I sell weed, I can open a store and it's fine. I'm going to do that until someone literally drags me out of it.
Yeah.
There was a guy who had a bodega in Queens, and he was in a news story about this. There's a news story today that since May, they've closed 750 of them, which is, you know, a lot.
There's 3,000, right? Or 4,000?
There's 100,000. I don't know. I should write down more things in this piece of paper. But there's a lot of them. there's a quote from this guy in Queens, and he had a bodega, and he was like, everybody on this block is selling weed. I guess I can too. And so he started selling weed, and it was like 20% of his business, but he got shut down. I think he's going to jail, or at least he's having like really high fines. But he, like, his defense was just like, everybody else was doing this. I thought, like, why weren't they stopping the weed stores from doing this? And I, like, have some compassion for that guy. At the same time, he was selling marijuana illegally from his bodega, so he should be stopped.
I really love all of the conversations that the illegal weed stores are having where they're, like, trying to win a PR war. They're like, you're shutting down a small business. You're hurting small business. It's like, you do not pay taxes.
End of story.
End of story. Plus, we don't know what you're selling. I don't know what you're selling. Where's it from? I don't know.
All right, I'm going to move into the lightning round portion of the show
round.
Where we're
going
to ask a lot of questions. It doesn't have to be a quick answer, but a quickish answer.
That is what a lightning round is.
Yeah, okay. You're right.
It does have to be a quick answer.
What are we doing if we're not doing that?
It's never how it... I'm just being honest because it's never how it works out in this show.
Yes, right. Got you.
Okay. The Neptune Diner in Astoria closed. A lot of diners have been closing. Will you panelists miss diners when they're gone, and have you supported a diner lately?
Oh my God, yes, I love diners. I love diners so much. It is what I do to kill time. Any neighborhood that I'm in, I know where my diner order is a spanakopita and a cup of matzo ball soup. That is how serious I am about diners.
You can't get that anywhere else.
No, you can't. No, you can't. The last time I got that in a Midtown diner, it was $37.
No,
yes,
no.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
It was.
Was that Pershing Square?
It was not Pershing Square,
Did
no.
Kathy Hochul come up and talk to you?
Yeah.
And so I get that, like, the, you know, the rates, the rents are insane, and so they have to jack up their prices, but the people who go to diners are not the people who are looking to spend $50 on a lunch, and so it's, you know, it's going to die, and it's so sad. Man, do I love diners.
I love diners. I used to go to the Sunflower Diner on, I think, 2nd Avenue in the East 20s, East 30s somewhere, with my wife all the time. And my favorite thing about a New York City diner is that they have a menu so large that you're like, your kitchen must be the size of a football field. Like, how is it possible?
How do you have fresh caught salmon
on this menu? You have lobster and pancakes. And, like, how is that possible that those two things are on the same menu? I think New York City diners, like a bodega, like Broadway, like Yankee Stadium, like the subway, like that is New York City to me. That is the experience of living in New York City. Is it Sunday, I'm in my 20s, I'm hungover, and you go to a diner. That's it.
Yes.
I'm going to give an unpopular counterpoint. Don't like diners. Don't enjoy going to them. Won't miss them.
What? You don't go? Wait.
Get out.
You just want a very large weed shop in your neighborhood.
You can't get everything from a marriage, and we do not have a marriage that supports diners.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's got...
I love diners. He doesn't like diners. You don't get everything from
where do you eat at night? What do you eat late at night
in your marriage?
I think it's... What do I eat at night?
Where do you eat late at night? You're coming home from some...
I mean, in my 20s, you mean? Like, when I used to go out late at night? I mean, a slice of pizza.
Now you eat pretzels and hummus.
Yeah, now I have a little midnight snack of pretzels and hummus.
And again, he was on the White Guys for Harris Hall. Yeah.
You've graduated out of diners, but you can't deprive your porn app sons from
a
diner.
Didn't like
experience.
It in my 20s.
We do diners without you. We go to diner breakfast without Charlie.
I think a diner is a giant menu and they don't do anything particularly well. Okay, moving on.
That's the whole point. They don't do it well. Yeah. But you can go with anybody and everyone's
everybody
happy.
Everybody can go, yeah.
Speaking of things that have closed, does anyone want to eulogize the Astor Place Starbucks, which is closing after 30 years. My biggest memory of the Astor Place Starbucks. I'm sorry. Did I just break that news to someone? Yeah. I'm sorry.
I actually did not know that.
I'm so sorry. It's devastating.
My favorite thing about the Astor Place Starbucks is when I first moved here, you could stand in front of the Astor Place Starbucks and see another Starbucks on 4th Avenue. Yes. And if you looked at the Barnes & Noble across the street, there was a Starbucks inside. So there were three Starbucks within eyesight.
Before that Starbucks opened in 1995, it was the Lone Star Cafe, which was a kick-ass diner. I was very sad to see that close, and I will not be eulogizing this particular Starbucks.
Guys, guess what? Charlie also doesn't drink coffee, so he doesn't care about Starbucks either.
I don't care.
What? I will say Starbucks...
Charlie won't be happy till there's a bike shop in that space.
What are you?
I did one of my favorite pranks I ever did in that Starbucks, so I am sad to see it close.
But, I will say it's pretty ominous that if Starbucks can't afford the rent in New York City, I mean, what hope is there for the rest of us?
Yeah.
It's not so great.
That is what the landlord of the Starbucks, or the owner of the Starbucks franchise manager said, that the rents are so high that even a corporate Starbucks location cannot afford it. That is not good.
By great prank at that Starbucks, do you mean just having bad diarrhea in there? Because that's what most people do there.
While waiting in the line with the door locked. Yes.
Oh, right. Got him again.
Kathy Hochul floated banning masks on the subway last month after a pro-Palestinian protest entered a subway car and demanded that Zionists exit the car. Is there merit to a mask ban? Now, obviously, it's sort of insane from a public health standpoint, but we had a mask ban that in this city, you could not wear a mask in public until COVID.
To be fair, before COVID, masks were like Batman masks or...
ski masks.
Yeah. And Gotham City really had a problem with that.
They did. They did. They banned it.
But is there any merit to... Like, you do see, like, oh, this guy robbed a CVS, and the image of him, he's wearing a surgical mask and sunglasses and glasses, and you're not going to catch that guy. Is there anything to... limiting masks.
The idea that you're the criminals are where we have to ban masks because we have to catch criminals. When the people who are wearing masks on the subway are the most fragile, careful people in the city who are like, please let me have this mask. I was so nervous about getting on this subway. It took me 4 hours to get here. Please let me ride it for three stops. I think we should let them have the masks.
Or that person that's coughing next to you. I'm like, put on your fucking mask. And I know you have COVID, and I know you haven't tested. Okay?
Maybe this is a great assignment for the cops you were talking about, Cody, that they could discern the very fragile person wearing a surgical mask and the person who just robbed a bank in a superhero movie is running on the subway, the worst escape vehicle to escape after a crime.
You want your disposable car for that.
Exactly. You want your single-use car. Yeah.
Disposable cars, you laugh, but it's a thing.
I'm curious to know if the panel is still on Twitter. And, Doug, I know you have left Twitter and been very vocal about it. I don't go to Twitter anymore. I guess I'm keeping my account there and my account for improv.
I don't go
everywhere.
To the Nazi bar. I just keep my tab open in case I ever want to go back.
Well, no, but here's the thing.
Wow. I
love you. I don't go there.
I love you.
But I hope that one day that maybe someone else buys it who's not a Nazi.
Justin,
are you
still on Twitter?
Jesse,
you still on Twitter?
I still have my tab open. I decided, I haven't tweeted in like a very long time, but I decided that I was going to the night of the debate.
Oh.
Ooh.
I was like, oh, this will be fun. It'll be a fun throwback.
Before the debate started?
I'm going to my way through this, and I didn't. And
aren't you happy you
didn't? That was sort of it.
Doug, did you delete your account?
No, I've got it deactivated, but I'm probably going to delete it.
So
I'm just being a real asshole to you, really, is what is happening.
You close the tab at the Nazi bar, you let keep your credit card.
Right,
you're like, hold on to that, I might be back.
My mug is still on the wall, basically.
It's good. The Doug mug is still on the wall.
Are you on Twitter, Justin?
I am still on Twitter. I don't tweet, but I will say I do read it a lot because people are still talking about politics mostly on there.
I found Threads is getting better. I think they're trying to limit politics, which is not what I want, but Threads figured out my algorithm, like my Twitter algorithm, which is every time I would go on, I would see pictures of cop cars parked in bike lanes, and it would make me mad and want to see more of them, and that's what Threads is for me now. So they figured me out.
Maybe that's the future of social media, is everyone gets their own single service, topic-oriented
I think we're there.
Social media site. Yeah.
All right, we're there. New York City's considering banning cell phones in public schools. As they were prior to de Blasio lifting the ban, should cell phones be banned in school?
Ooh.
Oh my God, I remember getting hauled into detention for having a beeper.
Wow. Beeper. They were like, what the devil is this?
Yeah, I mean, I was neither a sex worker or a drug dealer.
Or a doctor.
I just had a helicopter
parent. Or a doctor,
parent.
Jess.
Wow, really?
bearing the flag for the
I had one in high school because I was a doctor. I was Doogie Howser, okay? You don't know me.
Does Doogie count as a Doug?
What?
Oh, good question.
Having been called, no, let me pull down this chart of Doug taxonomy. No, Doogie, I'll take it. Neil Patrick Harris is pretty awesome. Wow.
Were we all pronouncing Doogie's name wrong? Is he Dougie?
It's Dougie.
I'm pretty
sure,
Dougie Howser, MD?
Yeah, doing the Dougie is when you go to med school at a young age.
No, he was D-O-G-I-E. There was no U in there.
When a Doug becomes a doctor, they become a Doogie.
Yeah,
it's like a Pokemon evolution.
Justin, you have kids in school in New York City.
I do.
Do you want them to be able to have cell phones when they grow up?
My kids are going into third and first grade, so not a lot of cell phone use there. But
just beepers.
We just have what are the phones that did this? Nextel? Yes, okay. My man. So this is my Nextel rep is here. If anyone needs a new phone, we'll be...
Our kids have Zach Morris phones. We give them the giant ones that are a brick the size.
And your kids can time out and stop time when they need to talk to the audience.
They're white.
That's amazing.
They're white.
They're young white men with beautiful blonde hair.
That's true.
I do think cell phones should be held out. We were just having this debate when I was upstate with my family because... Everyone, especially outside of cities, is like, for school shootings, dark turn here, for school shootings, all the parents want their kids to have their phones so they can text them while it's happening, I guess. And that I think this will be a debate that will be just a loggerhead because that side will not back down from that.
It's weird. It's like we could, I don't know, ban guns and then not have to worry
The cell phones are
about...
what's causing the problem, Cody.
Oh, okay. But, let's leave cell phones, but...
But we could give all of our kids... dumb phones that can only, like, they just have one button
also,
that says, like, press one to say, I'm okay, press two to say, the shooter's in the hallway, press three to say, my classmate has been killed, but I'm okay, right? Just, like, five options like that, and that would solve it.
Also, they did a study, too, that kids take more time to get out of the school in an emergency when they have phones rather than when they don't.
Of course, they're texting.
Have you
their
ever
parents.
Tried to get out of the subway when someone is just staring at their phone walking up the stairs? Of course. I mean,
there
are
like people running
absolutely.
Back and getting their phones, so they're actually safer without their phones.
I have my daughter's going into her second year of high school, and I'm all for it. Like, the phone should go in a box at the beginning of the day, and they should get it at the end of the day.
Yeah.
No distractions. I would like there to be fewer phones with kids in general. I think the single sort of like beep beep phone, and that's it, is perfect. So,
when are you launching your school shooting phone? Do you think? Because talk to my Nextel guy. This is a great
Charlie. I like in this world. There's no more active shooter drills. There's just how to communicate code via phone to your
also,
parents.
What is the? What do they think is going to happen? Like they're going to what? Give their kids instructions over the phone?
But I understand. Like if there's a school shooting at your kid's school, you want to know that they are okay. And I get that.
Yes, of course. But if they're in a closet ducking down because they can't make a word, like make a sound, I don't know. It's so dark and disturbing that that's the reason we think they should have phones and not that we should fucking ban guns. Jesus.
There's also so much bullying
so
with phones
disturbing.
Now, too.
Yeah.
So, like, if, you know, schools can't really control what kids are doing outside of school, but if they can get these kids off of phones during school and minimize the amount of bullying that can happen via chats and everything and text, great, good.
All right, a couple more quick questions. We're
going
to take it back to transit here briefly. NYC Ferry is going from $4 to $4.50 this fall, so you can still buy a 10-pack that would make each trip $2.90, same price as the subway. The city at one point was subsidizing each ride by $8.55. That's like having the cheap prices meant that the city was kicking in almost $9 a person. How much should the NYC Ferry cost? What's the right price?
I don't know. Anyone who's riding that to work lives a fucking charmed life. You ride a boat to work in this city? Sick.
If you live in Astoria and you work like underneath the FDR,
it's very specific. Like you have to live on a coast and work.
I lived
on
in Red Hook for a long time, and I was a huge ferry rider. It was really fun to like tell my friends that was actually how to get to my house. And they would enjoy themselves, as opposed to this, like, take the F to Smith and 9th and walk 25 minutes and, like,
it's
varies.
It's a super fun, fantastic thing to do.
Great.
I think it should be a variable toll, basically. Like, if you're going to the Rockaways on the weekend, that should be, like, $12, basically. Mm. But if you're just commuting from Red Hook to Lower Manhattan, sure, that should be lower.
I say get rid of all of them and give everybody an Esplanade. Is that a big car? I don't even know what cars are.
Wow.
Esplanade.
Yeah. That's a big car?
Cadillac Esplanade.
I think you mean Escalade. Escalade.
No, it's an Esplanade.
I think you want everyone to have a...
It's a beautiful... I meant give them a beautiful place to walk down next to a river.
Everyone should have a garden path through which to walk.
It's a car made of wood, and there are Ferris wheels and cotton candy on the side.
I've never owned a car in my life. That's true. I'm 44. I've never owned a car. And you can tell because I just called it an Esplanade.
Cody, I set up your single-use Esplanade out front. Be sure to walk past it because I have to throw it away immediately. That was my Charlie impression. I think we need to get the Gowanus Gondola program in place.
Oh, yeah.
So that people can really travel with song.
Over a Superfund site.
Yeah, exactly. You don't touch the water. This is real, I watched a dolphin die in that canal. You remember when the dolphin swam up the Gowanus Canal? I was running past it. I was like, what's that? And the people were just like, we failed. It was horrible. It was a tragic moment.
We talked about the AirTrain earlier. I have an AirTrain question. The AirTrain is half price this summer to discourage people driving to JFK during major construction. Half price fare is $4.50, which means the AirTrain is regularly $9, which means for a family of four, you have to spend $2.90 per person on the subway and then spend $9 per person on the AirTrain, which is getting pretty close
unless
to what
you,
an Uber
unless
costs.
You make your kids run really fast through it with you, which we do. We're like, run, run, run. I hold on to our child, and then we run through together. Sorry, guys. I'm not paying $9. It's true.
How much should the AirTrain cost? The train that has no employees on it that goes back and forth from the airport to the subway. What's the right price, Doug?
$0. $0.
Why is it so expensive? Just because it's money you
Doug,
can get?
Do you know why is it so expensive?
Because it's New York, and they try to fleece you for even the luggage cart that you get at the airport when you come off the plane.
Kathy Hochul.
I don't know why they charge anything. And if you get off at the rental car place, if you just like happen to come into JFK and are renting a car, leaving, free.
You can arrive at JFK, get on the AirTrain, ride it halfway to the rental car lot, $0. God forbid you try to ride it to the LIR or the subway, then you have to pay $9.
Well, isn't it cheaper for a family of four to take a car from...
I don't know how often you've taken an Uber, but it's like $80.
I'm talking about from the train station. Like, before you get on the AirTrain.
You could take an Uber to Jamaica station. Yeah, that's right.
Or just hold your children and run really fast and pay one fare.
It's really confusing.
Try it.
Sorry, it's really confusing for European tourists. I have come back from flights, and you see people like, what? I was on this thing, I need this, and now I need a separate ticket for the subway and for the Long Island Rail. Like, that makes no sense.
Well, but I feel like a lot of people fly here from another place, be it in America or outside, get off, ride the AirTrain, then they get to that point where you have to get on the subway, and people just turn back. It's that confusing. If we get rid of the price, how will we weed out the people who can't handle New York, who panic at that subway transition?
We need the
transition.
People that can figure out the LaGuardia link to the Jackson Heights subway station. Those are the real New Yorkers that do that. I want to end on a positive and hopeful note. Jess, Democratic strategist, what should we all be doing for the next few months? How can we keep this momentum for Kamala and keep the joy and the coconut tree laughs and actually
how do we have a brat
win this?
Girl summer?
Yeah, no, like, do recognize that your joy is a big part of it. Like, your energy level matters for democracy. If arguing with people on Facebook demoralizes you, put the fucking laptop away. Like, the most important thing you can do is talk to people who already know you.
Yeah.
Like, it's 10 times more effective than writing a postcard or knocking on a door, sometimes 100 times more effective than writing a postcard. Talk to the people who know you about the election and how excited you are to vote. People who you think are going to vote are not going to. People you are convinced are going to vote will forget.
Are you guys voting?
Sorry, how do you do that? I'm not sure. I'm always at the AirTrain trying to figure that out.
Yeah, so, like, talk to your friends. Like, that's it. Honestly, just spend the next, 97 days talking to the people who already like and trust you, because that's what matters, and then tell everybody else to do the same.
I love that.
All right, well, on that note, let's give it up for our three panelists tonight. Justin Tyler, Jess McIntosh, and Doug Gordon. Thank you guys for coming out to our first show back. We really appreciate it.
So So fun.
We'll be back here in 4 weeks.
Not much is going to happen, I'm sure. We've got the DNC. I don't know.
There'll be a VP, someone. All sorts of things are going
to happen. Some white man will be standing next to Kamala.
Right next to her.
We want to thank our sponsor, the porn app that you can do with your son.
Yeah.
And we want to
disposable
thank
cars.
Disposable
Cadillac
cars.
Cadillac Esplanade.
I did not approve that sponsorship.
Yeah, we want to thank Cadillac Esplanade. And we want to thank Tyler Walker, who does our theme music. And we want all of you guys to remember to please vote in midterm elections. Thank you, guys. Have a great night.
Yeah.